Hello, welcome to the Bev Moore Show, live streaming on the iHeart Network and over 185 broadcast stations in 37 countries. I'm your host, Bev Moore. My guest today is a network TV and film actress. Gemma McElhinney is my guest today. She is known for roles in NBC's New Amsterdam, CBS FBI, Netflix TV series Inventing Anna, and many other film productions. She says her transition from a law enforcement career enhanced her acting skills. Gemma says she fell in love with acting at an early age under the instruction of her mother and the Philadelphia Arts League. My interview with Gemma McElhinney is coming up. Stay with us.
She's just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than a fantasy. Lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire. Filled with catastrophe. But she knows she can fly away.
My interview with TV and film actress Gemma McElhinney is coming up. After the break, Gemma talks about her reoccurring role in the NBC TV series New Amsterdam. We'll be back after the break.
Hi, I'm Carson Kressley. Of all the most valuable resources in the world, kindness is the most precious. For more than 140 years, American Humane has been working to make the world a kinder place for animals. Rescuing those caught in disasters, protecting animals on our farms, on the silver screen, and the world's remarkable and endangered species who need our care to help them survive. All of us can make a difference by making humane choices at the supermarket, in our choice of entertainment, and by supporting conservation and rescue efforts. It's not hard at all. Make being kind a lifestyle choice and visit AmericanHumane.org for simple ways you can help build a more caring, compassionate, and humane world for animals and for all of us.
I would like to welcome Gemma McElhinney. Gemma is a Philly-born singer and actress. Welcome to the show, Gemma.
Thank you. It's so great to be here with you.
You were a fine art major in high school. Would you say your mother inspired you the most?
Absolutely. My mother was a school teacher, and she also taught theater, drama, dance, and movement. And she really pressed upon us the, and I shouldn't say pressed upon, but she really gave us a platform to focus on our creative side and not just our, you know, regular school academics. So she was definitely my main inspiration for all the creative things that I do.
Oh, that's wonderful. I read that, and I just thought it was just amazing. And I know she's passed now, and I'm sure you dedicate your career to her.
Absolutely, I do. It's funny. I've always dedicated my career to her because she was such a big inspiration for all the things I do, and not just the arts. She was just an amazing mom to have. And, you know, recently we had a loss in our family. So there's a second person that I now dedicate my journey to as well. But we can talk about that when we move forward.
Okay. All right. During your teenage years, you volunteered in various community service-based artistic endeavors. The primary focus was to allow inner city youth a safe environment to express themselves through the arts. Are you still involved, and did that help boost your acting career?
So currently I'm not actively doing it only because the time frame is a little difficult, and it's interesting because I ran into a retired school counselor today. And she actually discussed with me perhaps doing a program in a local school, which so that may happen. But just because of the time now, I'm not able to do it. But I did work with children even when I would still consider myself a child through my high school years and into adulthood all the way into my career and having my own children. I did work with after-school programs for children, really just giving them an opportunity to express themselves in a different way. A lot of schools lost funding for art classes and cooking classes and all those things they used to have, drama, choir. A lot of schools no longer have those programs in place. So it really gave me an opportunity to work with children specifically, or should I say more so, inner city youth who really didn't have those opportunities, and to just give them a way to, you know, talk about their lives. And, you know, we would really work on a full production. So it would start with just, you know, having a conversation with the children and allowing them to know me and kind of trust me and feel free to talk amongst the group, you know, learning who their other classmates were and feeling comfortable, and then really taking some of their stories and in a more abstract way, allowing mm-hmm. those stories to kind of move into us preparing scripts, writing scripts, and putting on really good performances with music, with dance, with acting, even the stage setup and the designing the set, like they were a part of every component, which was really exciting for them.
I mean, that's fabulous. It's like a humanitarian focus that you had at a younger age.
I'd say so. And, you know, again, having a mother who was a teacher but was a, you know, gave so much of her time even beyond school hours, that was something that was really instilled in me in a very young age, just to give back and to be community oriented. You know, the women in my family, all of them were in some form of social work. My grandmother being a social worker, my mother's oldest sister being a daycare, you know, she was a daycare provider, and one of my other aunts, you know, working with people with mental health issues and addiction. So I really just saw that type of giving in my family. So it was very kind of an easy way for me to navigate into doing something myself that I felt would be helpful for the community.
Yeah, and you also, I mean, are you still active with dance and drama with the Mount Airy Learning Tree?
I'm not, because I no longer live in that area, and that was a Philadelphia-based program, but it was very much a similar program to the programs that I did early on. And that was just a little bit different because there was kind of a central program that people could sign up for who had a specific skill, and they could kind of just develop a course, and it could be for children, it could be for adults. But it was very similar to what I did previously. And I did that up until maybe 10 years ago. And then my career shifted, and, and then time frames, it got very difficult to do. So I'm saddened by that, but I'm also very, happy that it's my career has taken off and it doesn't allow for the time. It's kind of a bittersweet kind of situation.
Right. So when did your acting career take off? Because, I saw when I read everything, you can be seen on network television shows such as you have a recurring role on New Amsterdam, NBC, mm-hmm. as well as FBI, CBS, East New York, CBS, Power Book 2, and then Ghost Stars, Inventing Anna on Netflix. That's just to name a few. I mean, when did all of this take off? I mean, was this about the same time? Or, I mean, tell me about these roles and how it all began for you.
So it's interesting. I had a career in law enforcement, so that was another dynamic that I went into early on in my life. It's another thing that I always wanted to do. There were some officers in my community that did some programs with youth, and I was in what's called Police Explorers, which was essentially like the Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts of law enforcement. So we would go on trips, field trips, learn all different kind of things.
Oh my gosh. I can only imagine.
We had little uniforms and everything. It was really fun. My grandfather was also one of the first black FBI agents for the Treasury Department, and he was also someone who I looked up to and had, a good impact on my growing up. So I went into law enforcement, and at that time, I really didn't have time to do any of the creative stuff that I did, because fine arts was something. I went to high school. I did some fine arts in college, and then I did all the other artistic stuff I do. You know, I have a family of singers. You know, we had a gospel choir. I mean, like a professional choir, recording artists, the whole, right. You know, the whole nine yards. And I was able to do some of those things, but the acting component really takes time, especially stage acting, because, you know, there can be rehearsals, dress rehearsals, all of those things. So I really just, with a law enforcement schedule, didn't have time. At that point, I had my own family. I had children. So any free time that I really had went to, of course, supporting their extracurricular activities, their sports, their art classes, their, you know, dance classes, and all of the things that they did. So it really kind of went on the back burner as something I knew that I wanted to get back into. And then I actually got injured on the police department, and I ended up retiring a little sooner than I would have. And I was home for a month, and that first month was great. I was like, wow, I don't have all these crazy schedules, all these rotating shifts.
I get a break. Yay.
I get a break. And then after a month, I was like, this is boring.
Right.
I was essentially used to running on fumes.
Yeah.
I was used to running on fumes. So my body wasn't used to being, you know, home all that time and just kind of being stationary.
Right.
And so what I did was I kind of decided that I would start doing all of the artistic stuff that I loved, and acting being one of those things. So early on, you know, I kind of just wanted to navigate back into acting. I knew all of the things I needed to do to kind of get where I wanted to go, but I really didn't have the experience or the networking. So I really just started off kind of, you know, finding out who was doing local casting, and that would be for, you know, college students who were maybe film majors doing their thesis films, you know, productions that may have been local, and, you know, extra work for productions that were local, and really just kind of feel, you know, kind of working my way back into it. So I would say 2015 is kind of really when I started getting really serious about, okay, I'm loving this. I had worked several films as an extra. I knew that I wanted to do more than be an extra. I knew I had the skill to be an extra. So that's when I said, okay, I need to take some classes. I need to, you know, really explore more of the student films so that I can get some set experience, have
right.
some films with lines and not just, you know, be in the background. And so I really started working in the student film portion first.
Awesome. So you really took the right path.
I did. And, you know, along the way, I met some, you know, some people who really could guide me along the way, which was great. Some seasoned actors that I met on set who were, you know, doing more than I was doing and kind of giving me some guidance as to what steps I should take.
Yeah, because that really, it helps you become seasoned because of everything that the steps that you made all the way from the beginning.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, which role that you have played do you like the most?
That's a good question. So it's funny. I'm typecast just a little bit with the law enforcement experience. So I do get a lot of police roles, of course. You know, but it's funny because I'm always like scrutinizing those kind of films because it's like, we would never do this. We wouldn't hold a weapon that way. This is a tactical nightmare. So I wouldn't say those are my favorite roles, but I'm very comfortable auditioning for those roles. I'm very comfortable being
exactly.
on set and delivering that kind of role. But it's those roles that don't involve law enforcement that I think I've really loved. New Amsterdam, which is the one you mentioned that I had a recurring role on. Actually, they just had their season finale last night on NBC, and their the show finale, because they're ending after the current season. But that show in particular, one, you know, being brought in for multiple episodes, and also just the dynamic of kind of being a blue-collar worker as a maintenance worker named Janice on that show. I think that's one of my favorites. And I think the other role is a film that's actually, I have a premiere in a couple of weeks, so this film is not out yet. But there's a film called Fenster where I play an Alcoholics Anonymous team member. And that was just a very different role for me. And I really enjoyed that cast and working with them. And it's an independent production. I think independent films, the folks that are involved are just more passionate because they're really they're taking their savings, you know, and they're fundraising, and they're just doing a lot to
spending their money,
to bring something, absolutely, to to make it a film. So, you know, it just you just see the, and don't get me wrong, I see the work involved on any production I'm on, but you just see the passion and the, the sweat and tears with independent productions more so. You know, you have a, you work on a full scale budget production, you know, they have tons of money, there's caterers for lunch, there's, you know, you're getting transported back and forth on shuttle vans, you know, they're putting you up in hotels, there's money there. But when someone is taking everything they've saved up to make that film, it's just a different kind of feeling. So I think that's one of the reasons that I love that particular film so much.
There's a name that can silence every fear. There's a love that embraces the heartache, the pain, and the tears. Through my faith and my doubting, I know one thing for sure. His word is unfailing, his promise secure. Todo va a estar bien, everything will be alright. Hands. Your whole world's in his hands. In the darkness and the trials, he's faithful and he is true. The whole world's in his hands. Todo va a estar bien. Oh, 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 oh. Everything will be alright. Oh, oh, oh. Father, you say everything's gonna be alright. But my circumstances say I won't last through the night. I need your word to hold me now, need you to pull me through. I need a miracle, a breakthrough, I need you. They say you hold the whole universe in your hand, but my world's falling apart like it is made of sand. Am I small enough to slip through the cracks? Can you take my broken pieces and put them back? Give me faith, you believe you are on my side. Open my eyes and see you working in my life. Let the past remind me you never fail. Tell my soul it is well, oh. Y todo va a estar bien. Everything will be alright. The whole world's in his hands. Your whole world's in his hands. In the darkness, in the trials, he's faithful and he's true. Your whole world's in his hands. Y todo va a estar bien.
Te confieso a corazón abierto que todo es muy incierto en este desierto. Mi vulnerabilidad está al descubierto. Siento que mi barca está muy lejos de su puerto. ¿Por qué será que ya no sale el sol en mis días? ¿Por qué mis noches son tan frías? ¿Por qué será que siento que me falta algo? ¿Por qué este camino gris se siente tan largo? Sé que estás sobrando aunque no te sienta. Sé que estás sobrando aunque no te vea.
Sé que voy a salir de esta odisea. Sé que voy a ganar esta pelea. Sé que va a cesar esta marea temporaria. Que en ti yo viviré una vida extraordinaria. Y aunque no pueda entender, me consuela saber que
todo, yo sé que
My interview with Jimmy McElhaney continues after the break. When we come back, she talks about how exciting it was to be a stand-in for Felicia Rashad, known as America's Mom on The Cosby Show. Jimmy also shares what it was like to be a part of productions featuring other A-list actors like Eddie Murphy. We will be back after the break.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
What would you say is your acting style?
I think I'm a method actor. I really do my best to study the role and really embody the character. Something that I really, you know, I lose myself in my roles. Like, I really am, you know, in my head, I am really that person while I'm performing, while I'm auditioning. And so it's definitely, you know, some roles aren't happy roles, you know, so you really have to pull on, you know, your own personal experience and pain to kind of bring up those emotions. So, yeah, that's what I would say more so. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that makes you a good actor. If you're
I think
able
so.
To pull up those emotions. Yes.
I think it brings some authenticity to the role, even if that particular character is, you know, that character obviously is not you, but if you can pull on something from your own past, your own experience, your own emotions,
from within,
mm-hmm. to bring that character to life, it definitely makes it more authentic.
Right. What do you like the most about acting?
What do I love the most? You know, if you love something, there's just a feeling. Like, I love being on set. Like, I love filming, even auditions, although you know, live auditions are a little more stressful, say, than self-tapes. But I love the whole process of developing a character. And, of course, I love to see myself on the screen. I know a lot of some actors who never even watch the shows that they work on. But I love looking at They don't like to see themselves, but I enjoy sitting there.
They really don't. Yeah.
It's true. It's so true. I'm like, did you see yourself? No, nope. I don't want to see it. Why
don't
you want to see it?
I don't want to look.
But I enjoy, you know, sitting with my family and seeing, or my friends, you know, or even my acting peers, and just, you know, seeing what their response is to what I did, seeing myself and seeing if when I'm looking at myself on that screen, do I see myself or do I really see that role that I'm playing? Because if I feel like I see myself, even though obviously the physicality, it's me, but if I feel like if I see Gemma and I don't see Janice, or I don't see the storage facility manager, or I don't see, you know, Hannah or whatever my particular character is, then I don't feel like I did my job. So I always want to look, and then I always want to get the feedback of my loved ones, the people that I trust, my friends, to just get their thoughts if they feel like, you know, I did the role justice.
Yeah, and it's good to have constructive criticism, you know.
Absolutely.
We love
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
We gotta have that. You know, it makes us better.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you don't like that, this is a very difficult industry to be in. It's an industry where there's way more no's than yeses. You know, for every success that you see I have, there's so many no's that came before that booking. But it really, you have to be open to change. You have to be open to someone else's interpretation. Like, you may read a script and say, oh, you know, I totally get this. This is how she feels. This is what she's going through. And then the director or the casting director, if you're auditioning, they may say, listen, I like what you did there, kind of. But, you know, this is really what their thought process is. And it may be completely different than what you read or saw. Because, again, you're putting your own personal thing on a roll. So you have to be able to change and make adjustments and be criticized. Like, listen, I think you could do this, give this way or do this better. And you have to be open and willing to make those changes. So if your family and the people that you love can tell you honestly, you know, like, I feel like,
and they will.
Know, and they will, because those are the folks that look. I'm not sugarcoating. You want to hear what I really thought? You know.
Yeah, they love you the most. Yeah, that's right.
But you need that. You need that boost. You need that. You know. You need to, you know, get some thick skin. And you know, it can only happen with some scarring and like some hurt feelings maybe sometimes. But it makes you a stronger actor. I had a role. There's a film called Volkov Origins. Origin, that's out. And I have a role as a reporter. And so that was interesting, just, you know, learning how they, you know, there's a different enunciation when you hear someone report a news story or you know, there's a specific way they say things. And then if you meet a news reporter and they're, you know, in their own personal space and place, they sound nothing like they sound on the news. So it was interesting, you know, learning how to put that emphasis on certain words and enunciate certain ways and, you know, pronounce this and that. And I remember I was saying, what was the word I kept saying? I think it was yesterday that I kept saying. And my husband was like, no, as I was rehearsing, nope. You have to put the emphasis on this part, not that part. He said, because you don't sound like a news reporter. Like, everything else is good, but the way you're saying yesterday. But you know what? He watches the news way more than I do. It helps me. And no, he's not an actor. He's not an actor, but he was taking real world experience and you know, witnessing and telling me, like, you know, this is an adjustment that you need to make. And as soon as I made that adjustment, I could hear it. And, you know, and when I looked at the scene at the screener that we had down in Virginia, I believed it. I believed I could be a reporter. You know, I believed that
wow.
You know, and everyone who saw it, they were like, wow, like you spoke totally different to how you normally speak, you know? And I said, well, I had to, you know, put on I call it hats. I always call everything I do hats, my acting hat, my drawing hat, you know, so I had to put on my reporter hat that day, you know? And it really did sound different because I have this, you know, directly behind me is Horton House Penitentiary. We're just yesterday, you know, so it sounds completely different to how I would normally talk, but it's, you know, it's getting all the people that you know and trust to really help help you bring a character to life and not being sensitive,
yeah.
Not being sensitive about it.
And that kind of comes to my next question is, what are some of the difficulties of the acting business? And that pretty much answers that question.
Yeah, you know? it's definitely.
It really does. That's part of it, you know?
Absolutely, 100%. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Again,
right.
I will reiterate that there are way more no's than yeses. So you have to kind of audition and leave it there. And even when you feel like, it's funny, I feel like I nailed certain roles. I thought, oh, that audition was great. You hear nothing back. And then the ones I feel like I didn't do good on, they call me back or they book me for the role. So you never really know what they're looking for oftentimes. Sometimes they're still figuring out what they want themselves. And so what you have to do is know that you gave your best work in the audition room and you kind of have to just leave it there. Because if you sit around like, I didn't hear anything back, I thought I did so well, maybe they didn't like this, maybe they didn't like that, then it will be a very difficult journey for you. You have to just realize that what's meant for you is for you. And if you don't book it and you know you gave your best work, that's really kind of all you can do. But there's certain things that you can't change. You may have performed the role perfectly, and they may feel the same, but you might not be
mm-hmm.
the height that they decide they want.
Right.
They want someone shorter
right.
than you. They want someone taller than you. They want someone thicker than you, thinner than
they
you,
have it,
lighter
they
than
have
you,
it
darker
in their
than
head.
You.
Yeah, they
right.
have it in their head, but they won't. Yeah.
Right. And sometimes,
and you have
again,
no control. You have no control over that.
You have no control over physicality.
No control.
You know,
no
control. Like now, if you go to an audition and you didn't know your lines or you weren't prepared, that is all on you. But if you go prepared,
oh, yes.
You do your best and you don't book the work, then, you know, that is something that's totally out of your control. And it may be because of something totally different than what you might think. Like you might start thinking, oh, I should have said the line this way or I should have said it that way, or none of that in the end is factual. You know, it could be that you didn't say it this way or that way. Or like I said, it could be, oh, you know what, we kind of want someone with longer hair. We don't want to put a wig on that person. So we want this person
right.
because her hair is longer. Like it could literally be anything. So you really
mm-hmm.
have to understand just doing your best and letting it go, and then moving on to the next thing, and then kind of enjoying that part of the process as well. Like even if you get a callback, meaning you auditioned and they saw something they liked and they want to see you do it again. They may want to see you do it again exactly as you did it, or they may want to see you do it again with some notes. You know, hey, can you, instead of being, you know, hesitant, maybe be more frustrated, you know, and then you have to, you know, process, okay, how would I deliver these lines if I were frustrated, you know, and then you kind
right.
of do the scene for them again. And
right.
even if you don't book the callback, you know that they saw something in you that they liked, and you have to look at that as a victory. Like you have to appreciate you have to search for all the little good moments in this career and celebrate them because
you
don't
learn from everything. You learn from everything, opportunity, everything.
Everything.
Yes.
Yes. It's all classwork. It's all classwork and
every
learning
bit of it.
and getting experience, you know, getting over the nerves. Like, if you were a little less nervous in this audition than you were your last audition, woohoo, that's a win. You know, like, every little thing, you have to celebrate all those small victories because they all matter.
And
they,
you know what,
matter.
That leads to my next question. What do you think is most important in your field?
Most important is doing the work in a manner that the audience, you know, the audience, people forget, like, you are performing for folks. You are literally in the entertainment industry. So, you know, the most important thing is your audience being happy with your work and being happy not with just your scene, but, you know, the whole of the project and knowing that everybody did their part. Of course, there's going to always be people who, I didn't like that movie at all. I thought it dragged. I thought it was boring. I thought it was going to be funny and it wasn't funny. Like, there can be all of those things. But if, you know, the majority, if the majority loves it, then, you know, you've done your job. If you had an emotional scene and someone could relate to that feeling, could relate to that pain, if you made someone's eyes water or if you just made them feel for you, then you've done your job. If you express something and it's funny and you hear laughter, you're like, okay, I did my job. So I really think that that's one of the most important things is just, again, bringing that authenticity to
the draw
role.
Emotion. Yeah.
To draw emotion, whatever it might be. It could be, you know, a very mild thing. You know, for smaller roles, you're not an intricate part of the storyline. For a smaller role, you're kind of just moving the story forward. So if, all you know, the lead in the film is checking into a hotel, it's not the person who's checking him in that or her in that matters. It's that they're, you know, just moving the storyline forward so that they can get to the hotel room and then the big scene happens. But you have to, you know, still work to perform that role in the best manner. You know, so if you're just moving the story forward, you know, just being natural in that role, not feeling like, oh, I got to do this big thing in this moment, like, just do what you would do naturally, check the person in. It's really not about you in this scene, but you're making the scene complete. So it's also knowing your place and space in whatever scene you're in. You know, are you a pivotal person? Is it a pivotal moment? Are you giving a masterful performance or the hopes of a masterful performance? If you are, great. But if you're just moving the story along, then you have to be okay with just doing that, just delivering the line, because sometimes the power is simply in the line. You know, if the lead is checking into the hotel and they say, hello, you know, is there a penthouse suite available? And your line is just, let me check. Yes, we do have one available. Then just give the line, you know, but some people, they, one of the hardest parts about auditioning for one-liners is that you don't really have anything to build on because it's just one line. And sometimes they can be some of the hardest auditions because you think too hard on it. It's like, no, just say the line, you know. And of course, you can say it in a couple of different ways. Like, maybe if that person checking in, the person at a hotel, was having a bad day, maybe they're impatient. So maybe they're saying it like, you know, oh, let me check. Yes, we have a penthouse available. You know, that could be a different way you may deliver it for an audition, just to give them something different. But you just really have to understand your place in that scene is just to move the story forward. And you have to be okay with it. It's not a big, glamorous scene for you, but you are completing that film or that TV series or
That's
that
right.
commercial. And you are still a part of the process, and you're making it, you know, making it real, making it believable, and doing your job. So, you know, sometimes you're the lead, and sometimes you're not.
Sometimes you're not. I know.
Yep.
And you have to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. And you have to understand that every role is important. Like, even extras, sometimes they're like, wow, we can't wait to get to where you are. But extras are some of the most underappreciated or underacknowledged folks, because can you imagine someone doing a restaurant scene and there's no one in the background eating or no one walking by or no server at a table? Like, they're so important.
How would you make a movie? How are you going to make a movie if you don't have extras?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's
so
what
everybody
I'm saying.
Is important.
I mean, yeah, everybody is important. It's just, that's common sense. I mean,
yep.
You know, we have to have them, and we need to treat everyone with respect.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes,
everyone.
We do. We do.
And I think some actors, some celebrities, they forget. They forget that they did that once upon a time, you know. So if an extra doesn't know set protocol and they're just excited and they say hi, it doesn't kill you to say, hi, how are you, you know, and keep going. Or you can even school them. Listen, I know you're excited to be here, but you really shouldn't talk to me right now because I kind of got to focus on the scene. But hello. You know, like even if you do that, you've at least acknowledged them.
You acknowledge them.
Exactly. And they're so important. Again, like I said, you know, they are. Someone told me one time, I don't know if it was a director or a production assistant, told them, listen, guys, you're not that important. You are moving furniture. Like, what? You're moving furniture.
Oh,
what does that mean? But never make someone who can walk out on your set feel undervalued. You know what I mean?
That they are beneath.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're not moving furniture. They are filling the scene so that when you look at it, it looks real. It looks like
right.
It should. And they are so important. Just like stand-ins for actors are so important. Photo doubles are so important. Doubles, stunt people, like everyone has their place, and it takes every single person to get the job done.
Well, looking back, are you happy with the way things have shaped up overall in your industry?
My industry, as far as me personally, my journey or the industry?
Yeah. Are you happy with the way everything has shaped up?
I am thrilled. I am thrilled. If you had told me in 2015 that I would be, even as a stand-in, standing in for Felicia Rashad, America's Mom. She's one of America's Moms as Claire Huxtable on The Cosby Show. If you had told me that I would be able to work so many days on the Creed set and just watch her work, watch her take a script and bring it to life. Like, those lessons are invaluable. If you had told me that I would be auditioning for roles that could potentially be opposite Eddie Murphy or Brad Pitt or, you know, those folks, I've had those kind of auditions. I've literally had auditions that if I booked that audition, I would be working with those people. If you had told me that I would last year work on 5 network shows and movies, you know, and some independent productions, I probably wouldn't have believed you. I'm so thrilled with where things have gone. I'm so thrilled that the type of auditions I'm getting are larger roles than when I started, and that I've really just progressed. Like it's funny, the New Amsterdam in particular. The scene I had in season 3, when I tell you it was such a quick scene, and I had auditioned for this show, I think 5 times before I booked this role. And when I booked the role, you know, based on the nature of the scene, I said, I bet you they're going to have a mask and goggles on us. And sure enough, they had a mask and goggles on us because the lead in the series was breaking open the wall with a sledgehammer. I was like, great, I finally booked this show, and you're not going to see my face. So I'm going to be like, I swear that's me. That's me right there.
Hey, guess what? Looks didn't matter. Looks didn't matter, right?
Right, exactly. Again, making that scene work and being a part of that scene was amazing. But who would think that the following season they would bring me back and that I would have multiple scenes in an episode and then one scene one-on-one with the series lead? Like, I couldn't have imagined, one, that they would remember me, you know, to trust and give me that responsibility to deliver that scene, but that it would be such a special scene. Just me and the series lead sitting in the locker room having a conversation. Like, that's amazing. It's an amazing feat. And I've have actors who are seasoned, who have way more experience and way larger roles than me that said, hey, you had a scene with the series lead, just you and him. That is pretty incredible. So, I mean, there's no better feeling than, you know, just getting to that next level. And I've definitely have climbed some stairs. I'm certainly not where I'm started. And I'm, you know, I'm not at the top of the stairs yet. I don't think any actor or anyone ever feels like they're at you know, at the top of the mountain, per, you know. But I'm definitely higher up than I was, and I see momentum that it will go further, and all I can do is be grateful for the journey. And if, you know, if my career stayed at this place, I'd still be in love.
Drive by T-Mac on the radio. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right. Looking for a ray of hope. Whatever it is you may be going through, I know it's not gonna let it get the best of you.
The Bev Moore Show, live streaming on the iHeart Network and over 185 broadcast stations in 37 countries around the world. I'm Bev Moore. When we come back, TV and film actress Jemma McElhinney shares powerful words of wisdom for up-and-coming actors.
To some, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much, but that's not true. They're testing out vowels and consonants and trying different sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on meaning, especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at autismspeaks.org.
What advice do you have for young people who are just starting their careers?
Okay, that's a good one. The advice that I would give, one, is study your craft. Study the work. Take classes. And it doesn't have to be something expensive, but if you can find a community program, an art center, somewhere where they're doing that type of work, definitely study the art of acting. Kind of know what you're doing. Don't expect things to just, there's no, I call it insta fame. Like, a lot of people want insta fame. So you'd be surprised how many people reach out to me on social media, like, hey, I want to be an actor like you and be on TV shows, and what do I have to do? Like, okay, let's start with the basics. Like, have you ever taken an acting class? And don't get me wrong, some people are a natural and they perform well, but you have to understand the business of this industry and the business of acting as well. So it's not just taking acting classes. It's learning what the different roles are, what they mean, and really getting that knowledge and getting that experience. And if you can do those things, you're off to a great start. Follow instructions, learning how to listen. Those things are so important. Like, you can't have an authentic conversation with someone if you're not listening to what they're saying. You really have to be able to respond to the other person, who your scene partner. You have to be able to respond to them. So you have to remember to listen to them. And if you don't have the money for an art class, the internet, just like you said, is an amazing, amazing resource. And the fame that everybody wants, it's really not about that. You have to love doing what you're doing, because it's definitely something that has levels to it. And some people, may never be what's considered an A-list actor, and you have to be okay with that. So you have to study. You have to be involved with the work of it. And all the benefits come down the line, but you have to be willing to do the work, and you have to be willing to do it consistently.
That is great advice. That is, yes, great advice. Thank you so much. Absolutely. Well, Jemma, I'm so happy to have you on the show. You have been incredible.
Thank you so much. I do want to say one quick thing. We recently lost a family member over the holiday weekend in an accident. He was embarking on his acting journey. And when I tell you, one of, hands down, the best human beings I could ever know, my cousin Demarius, passed away. So that is one of the second person that I will be honoring in my journey, and dedicating my journey to, because he was one of my biggest cheerleaders in everything I did, not just acting, but he loved movies and loved watching movies with family. That literally was one of his favorite things. So I will definitely be, sending some shout outs to him when I'm on set, just to say his name, to remember him and to honor him and just keep making him as proud as I can. So I just wanted to mention that.
Absolutely. And our prayers go out to you and your family.
Thank you so much. I truly appreciate that. And we're accepting all the prayers. All the prayers.
Yes,
we're,
honey,
we're taking them
yes,
all.
Yes, honey. Yes. That's our show for this week. I hope you enjoyed my interview with TV and film actress Jemma McElhinney.
known for reoccurring roles in NBC's New Amsterdam, CBS FBI, the Netflix series Inventing Anna, and many other film productions. Thank you for listening to The Bev Moore Show, live streaming on BBS Radio on the iHeart Network worldwide. Until next time, bye-bye.